Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Genuine Chit Chat. This week, I'm once again joined by Shaldo, the UK rapper. Now, if you didn't tune in last week, I highly recommend you go back and check it out because part one was an incredibly motivational and inspiring chat from, I'd say, one of the most hardworking musical artists in the UK, especially one who's independent and has their own label and does everything themselves. So, you know, go check that out, hear about sort of some of the lyrical meanings, how he got about doing what he's been doing, his fire in the booth, some of the collaborations he's doing, some of his trips around the world, the manga that he's released. Yeah, he's done loads of stuff. So be sure to go check out part one because incredible. But this part is a bit more sort of a nerdy chat that I just want to chat to Shaldo about sort of Dragon Ball Z and anime and stuff, because some of his lyrics do go on about, you know, anime and things, including his song Kaioken, which I refer to in at the very start of this. I mention it. The video of it is incredible for any Dragon Ball fans. I really recommend you check it out. So, you know, this is a bit more of a nerdy chat, a lot more casual, and it was loads of fun. I won't ramble on too much, but just for a little bit more detail on this one, we speak about, as I said, the Kaioken video, as well as its link to Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super. We then talk about sort of Dragon Ball GT, Dragon Ball Super, the sort of movies and that sort of thing. And then also we talk about live action animes, so, you know, the Dragon Ball Evolution movie, I think Attack on Titan had one recently, those sorts of things. We talk about our disdain for that. We then talk about some of the other animes that myself and Shaldo like, you know, Fairy Tail, One Piece, Fullmetal Alchemist, that sort of thing. We talk about the upcoming Sonic the Hedgehog movie and what an abomination Sonic looks like. We talk about Detective Pikachu. We then talk about Super Smash Bros. For ages, because any fans of the show know I love Super Smash Bros. We talk about other sort of video games and other motivational things. And then we finish off the chat by talking about DIY Gang, which is Shadow's own company. So if all those sort of things sound like appealing to you, as I said, it's a bit more of a nerdier one. I almost didn't do it as a part two. I thought about doing it as a standalone episode, as I have occasionally in the past, when it's a part two and a part one and part two of the chat. But I just thought, you know, anyone who listens to this chat, I really recommend, even if you're not necessarily that fast on rap music, go check out part one. It's just very interesting hearing an independent artist talking about creating this sort of music and the journey they've been on. So, you know, go check out part one. And, you know, after this podcast, make sure to go out and give Shaldo some love. Before the chat gets started, there'll be a quick promo for Ignite the Flame Audio. Now, if you have listened to part one, which I hope you have, you will have heard this promo before anyway, so you can skip it, I guess, but I really recommend you don't, because it's, you know, it's a very good friend of mine, Wayne Telford. He's been a guest on the show before. He's an incredibly talented individual. He's a paleontologist, he's an author, and he's just an awesome guy. So he's got a new podcast. I kind of helped him sort of get it off the ground a little bit, you know, work out the ins and outs, what you need to do with this, that, and the other. You know, I'm not going to go into detail, because anyone who is listening who doesn't actually make a podcast is not interested. But, you know, it's really, really good, and I everyone should go check him out. You know, he's released his whole first book that he, you know, he wrote a book and then recorded and released it essentially for free. So, you know, be sure to go check that out. There's a link to that in the description. So that's it for me at the start, guys. I'll let the chat and the promo continue in a moment, but I'll be back at the end just to give a bit more information of what's to come, and some other rambly on bits. If any regular listeners of the show will know, the start of this I try and keep a little bit more quick and a little bit more sort of to the point and things, and I do edit it, but in the middle of the chat I cut out ums and buts and occasional coughing and things like that, little things. But the end I normally just click record and then ramble on for anywhere between 3 and 10 minutes, so be sure to wait around for that if you're interested. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoy this chat, and make sure you go and give Shaldo all your love.
Dear listeners, welcome to Ignite the Flame Audio, a book series made up from our own creative works, broadcast with the hope of bringing people together one word at a time. Seasons ranging in genre from thriller to horror, romance to action, and much, much more. Each episode, a chapter is read and characters voiced by myself, along with extras like the origin of ideas and tips of the trade to aid those aspiring to follow the same authorial path. If you enjoy listening to more than just an audiobook, then this series is right up your alley. Find us on social media and the usual podcast places. Follow me, Wayne Telford, into the depths of your imagination.
Welcome to Genuine Chit Chat, where we have honest conversations with interesting people. And I'm your host, Mike Burton. Speaking of music videos, I want to bring up your Kaioken video, because I thought it was absolutely fantastic, and I was watching it, and one of the things I appreciated the most about it was it's only subtle, and only nerds of Dragon Ball Z are really going to appreciate it, but you're wearing the afro wig, just the standard black, you know, any Dragon Ball Z fans will know the hair color of pretty much all the Saiyans right bar, a couple are black, and then they go Super Saiyan and it goes yellow and your hair goes yellow. Yeah. And then your hair goes blue. And that's the bit that I was like, yes, he gets it. Like, it was like, what do they call it now? It's I think it's Super Saiyan Gold Super Saiyan, but they changed it now to Super Saiyan Blue, I think.
Super Saiyan Blue, yeah.
Yeah.
I was watching Super at the time, so I couldn't really not include that. I did debate doing Super Saiyan 3, but I'm true to form. If I was going to do Super Saiyan 3, it would need to be long blonde dreads, and I would have needed to shave my eyebrows in order to pull it off, because anyone who knows Super Saiyan 3 knows that you don't have eyebrows in that one, and I just was not willing to shave off my eyebrows.
That's brilliant. I've always wondered, like, if Raditz ever went Super Saiyan 3, like, what would happen? Like, would his hair then revert back to, like, his all is Super Saiyan 1 and Super Saiyan 2, he'd have almost, like, Super Saiyan 3 hair. And then if he'd Super Saiyan 3 hair, would he then get Super Saiyan 1 hair, or would he have just, like, twice the amount of hair, you know?
Well, actually, we kind of know what Raditz would look like as a Super Saiyan, because Gohan went partially Super Saiyan in the hyperbolic time chamber when he was training with Goku, and he had long Raditz style hair.
That's a good point.
And all that happened was the hair kind of spiked up a bit and went yellow, but it retained the length.
Mm.
And then Super Saiyan 2, it goes extremely spiky and you get the electricity. And in Super Saiyan 3, I think it would probably stay the same length, but just look a particular way.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I've always been interested, like, with this is going to go into a deep Dragon Ball Z talk now, because I've been thinking about it while chatting with you. I'm just like, I need to talk to someone else about Dragon Ball Z for a bit. One of the things with Dragon Ball Z is, well, I love it, first of all, but I want to know, GT obviously finished and you got Super Saiyan 4 in that, but I like a lot of the fan art you see of, like, I think I've seen fan arts up to like Super Saiyan 9 and all that sort of craziness, and some of them are like terrible, to be honest with you, but some of them are absolutely fantastic. But with Dragon Ball Super, for example, obviously, they've kind of... How is this working in canon? Because you know more about it than I do. Because it's like, I've seen all of Dragon Ball, all of Z, and Kai, and most of GT. And I think we can both agree that GT isn't very good. It's got its moments. But with Super, I haven't seen the series of Super, but I've seen Resurrection F, the movie. I've seen Battle of Gods movie. And I think that isn't Super essentially extended versions of the movies and then some? Am I right in thinking that?
Super, well, the thing is, they kind of cheated with Super, because Resurrection F was a standalone movie, and normally how they do it is the movie is a thing in and of itself, and then you get completely new content in the series. But in Dragon Ball Super, they pretty much just rehashed the movie. There was some slight detail changes, but largely it followed the same thing. So for most people who had seen both Resurrection F and Battle of the Gods, there was no new content for a very, very long time. You were literally just watching through the movies in episodic form. So that was a bit frustrating and pretty boring.
Mm.
But then after that, I want to say it gets better. It doesn't until the Universe Survival arc. There's a whole lot of nonsense. A lot of people talk about the Goku Black saga and say that's good, but I feel I could have written it better, and the only way I can explain it is if you've seen it, and I don't think you have seen it.
No, I haven't seen Super, because I wanted to watch it. Well, I heard about it, and I got really excited, and then I saw the Resurrection F and Battle of Gods, and then someone on my Facebook is a friend of mine. He was like, oh, I'm really disappointed with Super. It's just the movies, but in a series, in episodic form, and so I didn't watch it, and then it's still going, and obviously that was a few years ago now. I think Battle of Gods came out. But you're saying it's worth it?
The Universe Survival arc is good, but the Goku Black saga, to summarize it, basically there's an evil Goku in another timeline, and Goku and Vegeta have to go and fight him, and he's actually in the timeline that Future Trunks comes from, so they bring back Future Trunks. They also bring back Vegito for a little bit as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's cool, but the writing of it is really bad, and I could have fixed it very easily if they would like to give me a paycheck by making the evil Goku Goten, because they do absolutely nothing with Goten. It's very, very frustrating, but I would have written it in a way that it would be what would happen to Goten without Goku's influence. It's set in the world where Goku dies from the heart.
In the Cell Saga or Android Saga.
Yeah, yeah. So that's Trunks' dystopian future. So I would have had it where Goten had grown up without Goku, realized all of this power and been corrupted by it, and then Goku and Vegeta would have had to come to that timeline. Goku would be fighting his grown-up son, and really struggling with how to deal with it, how to, you know, am I going to have to kill my own son because he's too far gone? That sort of the problem, I can summarize the problem with Super as opposed to Dragon Ball Z in that there are no stakes. You know, everybody's so flipping powerful. Power levels mean nothing. You can go Super Saiyan Blue and then Android 17 turns up and goes toe-to-toe with Super Saiyan Blue Goku. And none of it makes any sense at all. You have no sense of who's strong and who's not strong, how powerful somebody is in relation to them. So you don't really get an idea as to how much work and effort needs to be put in order to overcome this new obstacle. And realistically, there are no stakes. In Dragon Ball Z, there was the threat of death. Of course, yeah, you could wish them back on the Dragon Balls, but there was a threat that you could be absolutely steamrolled by somebody like Nappa and be powerless against them. And now it's like Goku Vegeta, but it's really the Goku show. You know, if Goku's not there, then you're just going to get beaten up for a while until Goku turns up and deals with it, and none of the other characters really have any significance anymore. I just find it very badly written, to be honest.
I see. And is the things are Super as well, is it, to your knowledge, is it still canon with, is GT canon with Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super?
That's a good question. I don't think it is. I think Super kind of took it back. So GT was, because GT wasn't really written by Akira Toriyama.
Oh, really?
Whereas Super was.
Okay, that does explain a lot.
Yeah, and I was going to say, because GT was before Super, and so much has happened in Super, and you've got Super Saiyan Blue and everything like that, so technically GT doesn't really exist just because it can't in the timeline.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I mean, when I, because I've been a massive fan of the anime since I was a kid. I used to always watch them, but then what really hooked me when I wasn't watching the anime was the games, you know, Budokai and Budokai Tenkaichi. Rage and Blast was pretty good, but it was nowhere near as good as Tenkaichi, especially because they cut the characters down. But I love those games. They made me love the characters even more. And, you know, being, you know, Super Saiyan 4 Goku with 10 times Kamehameha was amazing. And, you know, Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta would just slaughter everyone. And it was really cool. And then when I saw Battle of Gods, and more importantly, Resurrection F, and I saw, you know, Frieza comes back, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. And then he becomes really strong, and then they absolutely wipe the floor with him with Super Saiyan Blue. And I was like, and I was thinking in my head, I was like, right, so does Goku, can he be Super Saiyan Blue in GT, or have they retconned that? Or, because like Super Saiyan Blue, because it's obviously to do with Super Saiyan God, you would assume that it's more powerful than Super Saiyan 4, which is just like the Ataru ape sort of manifestation. So it's like, where do you think they, I mean, they may end up redoing GT. I mean, part of me wants
they might
to.
Do. I hope they don't, because it's flipping boring. But yeah, I think Super Saiyan Blue is more powerful than Super Saiyan 4, so there's no real point in doing it. You know, that's why, it's part of the reason why Vegeta never did Super Saiyan 3, because he didn't see a point in it.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously with GT, one thing I will say about it is, yeah, the majority of it, when they're searching for the Black Star Dragon Balls, and you've got Kid Goku, who is even more annoying than normal Goku, and I do like Goku, but he's very annoying. And then Kid Goku's even more annoying. You get Pam, who's really annoying. You get Trunks, who's nowhere near as cool as Trunks, future Trunks, so he's really annoying. And you've got that robot Gil, and you're just like, And they're searching for Dragon Balls, and it's really cheesy. And I remember the music, like, I think in Fire in the Booth, you did Over Rock the Dragon. Which is like, I remember when I was a kid, when I was a lot younger, it might have been one of the reasons I like metal so much. I just remember hearing that, you know, Rock the Dragon, and then the guitar comes in like, little, and you're like, oh my God, this is so cool. And it's all like amping you up. And then you get GT, and it's just like, what? And it's like really happy. And
the world with all my friends, we're gonna do. Yeah,
exactly.
But to be fair, I mean, it's more similar to the Japanese opening of Dragon Ball Z, which I think was Charla Hedcha. Rock the Dragon was the Americanized version, so we got the hardcore one, but they always got the kind of happy go lucky intro. So I think GT was trying to bring it back to that. But having said that, the intro for Dragon Ball Super, in the later series, is actually really, really good, and I very much like it. So that's probably my second favorite intro for Dragon Ball.
Oh, nice. Yeah, because with Dragon Ball as well, with with GTF and the Black Star Saga, that was just rubbish. The Baby Saga, I actually thought it was a bit slow in places, but I thought it was actually a really cool idea, and I really liked it.
Towards the end of it, it got cool.
Mm, and then I thought the was it the Shenron Saga where all the Dragon Balls become versions of Shenron? I found that went on for quite a bit. There's a lot of like filler and nothing. I mean, the Nova Shenron stuff was actually quite cool, and then obviously Omega Shenron was cool. But one thing, I like anime generally. I haven't seen a huge amount, but I'll talk about that in a little bit. But like with Dragon Ball Z, one of the things that's the biggest problem with it was there was so much filler, you know, especially in Z itself. It was just like, I think it's the Cell Saga, the Cell Game Saga, and there's like about three or four flashback episodes. You're like, can someone just punch someone? Like, please.
Yeah. Well, either they punch somebody or they talk, or they have no concept of time at all. When Namek was blowing up and Frieza was talking about there's 1 minute until the planet explodes, and then there's like 20 more episodes of 1 minute. And so, Dragon Ball is very, very interesting in terms of its pacing and concepts of time. But Dragon Ball Z still, for me, is a classic. And even with the filler, I enjoy it because it's well written, and there's gravity to it. There's real stakes involved with the characters, and you actually care about the characters. And there's real character arcs. And a lot of the characters, for me, in Super have reached the pinnacle of their arc with Vegeta. He starts off super evil and then ends up sacrificing himself to try and stop Majin Buu. And then in Super, he's kind of just there. And he doesn't really have a lot more character development that was as significant as what he had in Z. And he's just kind of the weaker Goku who gets beaten up a bit to show that the character is strong. And then Goku comes in, gets beaten up, and then works it out somehow and wins. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm just not really impressed by Super.
Mm, yeah, I mean, you're not selling it to me, I will say that much, but hopefully the Broly...
I recommend watching it. I recommend watching it, but it's just not as good as Z. But if you want a sequel, if you're not satiated by the fact that Z is finished, then I think Super is a nice little filler. But if you want, in my opinion, a real sequel to Dragon Ball Z, it's got to be Dragon Ball Multiverse.
What's that?
Which is, I'm glad you asked. It's a fan-made web comic, I guess, web manga. It's been going for a good, I think, like 8 years.
Oh, wow.
The basic premise is they get different characters from the Dragon Ball universe together to fight in a tournament from different universes. So there's a universe where Cell killed everybody and became the strongest in the world. There's a universe where Boo won. There's a universe where Frieza won. There's a universe where Goku and Vegeta stayed fused as Vegito, and what happened there. And they all kind of get together in this big tournament and fight, and it's really, really interesting. And the characters are true to form and act as they should act, rather than just acting for the sake of the story. So I would definitely recommend it. If you type in Dragon Ball Multiverse into Google, you can read it and you will be hooked.
Definitely. I mean, that sounds incredible. I mean, one thing that I liked the most about, I think Tenkaichi might have done this, but I know Raging Blast did it, which was the what if scenarios. Like, I love that, you know, the sort of I think one of them was like quite crap, and it was like, what if Raditz just turned good and it was just not that interesting, or what if Raditz did kill Goku and he went on a spree. But there's a couple of arcs in the what ifs of the games which are just, it is really cool to explore these possibilities.
Yeah.
And I will say with what you said about, Vegeta as well, is Vegeta is my all-time, my favourite character arc of anyone. I was thinking Darth Vader maybe, but Darth Vader's arc isn't much of an arc. It's more kind of a sudden thing. But Vegeta, I remember like watching it and I was like, I quite like him, but he is a dick. But then you slowly watch him over the series get more and more sort of begrudgingly okay with everyone. Obviously he has Trunks of Bulma, and everyone was like, wait, what? And then it was like he had the Majin Saga, which I think the Majin Saga might be my favorite, because you get that rawness of Majin Vegeta, and it's like, oh, as you say, the stakes, and you're like, oh, fucking hell, like this is intense. And like Vegeta then obviously sacrifices himself and it means essentially nothing, and it's like all these sort of pieces fit together. It's like a huge threat, and it always felt that way. But then
It felt like they were leading up to that from the beginning. You know, it felt planned, whereas Super, it kind of feels like, let's just do stuff.
Yeah, That is the problem. But aside from Dragon Ball, what sort of other animes do you like? I mean, me as an example, I haven't seen a huge amount. I'm currently watching Fairy Tail. I'm about 100 or so episodes through that, and I've seen all of Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, which I thought was absolutely phenomenal. But I didn't know if there's many others that you watch.
Fairy Tail, I read the manga and really struggled to follow it, and debated watching the anime.
There's a lot of filler. I watch it with a mate of mine, and he literally watch an arc and he'll be like, right, let's just skip the next four episodes because there's literally nothing that's going on.
The same with Bleach, actually. There's way too much filler and I would not recommend Bleach. I would recommend My Hero Academia. That's fantastic. One Punch Man, extremely good.
I heard about One Punch Man. Can you talk to me a little bit more about that? Because me and my mate Bradley were talking about it, and we heard the premise, and it was like, you know, I think obviously it plays on its premise, but it's like, oh, he can literally beat anyone in one punch, and you're like, how can that be good?
That's the premise, and it's one of those things where it should be three episodes long. But what I love about it is it's so well done, and they've introduced such interesting characters that it genuinely has life, and the concept by itself shouldn't work. And it's literally just a piss take of all of these popular animes, because the main character turns up and destroys anything. He can't be hurt, can't be killed, and he just absolutely steamrolls everything, so he's just bored of it. But they've done it so well, and I would definitely recommend watching it. It's really, really good. Like I said, My Hero Academia is probably the best sequel. Well, it's the new brand of anime, and it's really, really good as well. One Piece is my all-time favorite anime.
Oh, I've never watched One Piece, actually. That's the pirate one, isn't it?
Yeah, you really should. It starts off slow. It's going to take you about 40 episodes to get into it, unfortunately. But when you get into it, you are into it. Naruto is pretty good, but a lot of filler, and it's extremely long and a lot of pointless stuff, in my opinion. Attack on Titan.
I did watch that, but they lost me in series two, actually, I think it was. Yeah. I was hooked on series one, and then there was just it's kind of the filler thing, because I think the manga, I think this happens quite a lot, unfortunately, with anime and manga, is that the manga goes, it becomes huge, they release anime, and obviously the anime catches up really quick. Yeah. And that's what happened with Full Metal Alchemist. That's why there's Alchemist, Full Metal Alchemist Standard, and Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Yeah, exactly. So I did like Attack on Titan, but I got a bit lost. Has it improved since? Has it kind of picked up again?
Funnily enough, none of that is filler. That's all true to the manga. It's just that the manga is really, it's really up its own arse. There's a lot of politics, and it's called Attack on Titan, but there's a lot of episodes that have zero titans and people just standing around talking about stuff. And I always did wonder, when it got to that part in the anime, how they was going to represent it, because it's super boring. And all credit to them, they put it fully in the anime and it's still super boring. And a lot of the time you're just sitting there like, can I see some titans, or can I see one of my favorite characters die now, please? Anything. So Attack on Titan, it's the concept is really good. The execution is a bit meh, but it's worth a watch just because it's such a good concept. My Hero Academia, fantastic. One Punch Man, fantastic. One Piece, fantastic, if you've got the time to really get into it. There's loads of other ones as well, but those are off the top of my head.
Are you one for, because I assume obviously you read a lot of manga as well as watching quite a bit of anime. Do you, when it comes to watching it, it's potentially a hot topic. Is it dubbed or subbed for you?
Oh, it's definitely subbed. I don't want to hear any English voices at all. Dragon Ball Z is the only anime that I'll accept watching in dubbed.
Is that because Goku's voice is so annoying in the Japanese version compared to?
It really is, but I actually ended up watching the whole of Super subbed and got used to it.
Okay.
I'm on the fence as to whether or not I want to watch it again dubbed, because there are some nuances and thought processes and conversations which translate better over when it's done in English, and you can understand things a little bit better as a result. But everything else is straight subbed. It doesn't really compare if it's dubbed, in my opinion.
Is that for like One Piece and all of those other shows as well?
Yeah. Like, I don't ever want to hear any of the English voices for a lot of these characters. And I've randomly searched on YouTube some of the dubbed, and it just sounds so cheesy. It's just generic American actor voice.
Well, a lot of what I found, especially when I was watching Fairy Tail, because I watched Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, and then I watched Fairy Tail, and the main character in Fairy Tail was voiced by quite a big character in Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. And then I actually looked it up, and there's, like, you know, the guy who voices Piccolo, he in the Dragon Ball Z, he's like in loads of other things. And I think quite a lot of the voice actors that do a lot of the English dubs are all in sort of the same realm. There's like 100 of them. Yeah. So you just keep hearing the same voice, and it's like...
Oh, yeah, it's really frustrating as well, because the voices are so iconic. So in One Piece, for instance, the guy, the actor who voices Piccolo also voices Zoro. And I think Yamcha is one of the other characters, and then Krillin is another character in One Piece. So you've got these voices that you're used to hearing on different characters, and it's just very confusing for your brain, and it just doesn't sync up, it doesn't make sense, and I don't like it. Whereas with the Japanese version, it's how it's meant to be, and I'm perfectly happy with reading it, you know. And I think that as English speakers, we're very spoilt. We expect everything to be in our traditional language and to be just presented to us on a plate as we and understandable. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with consuming something as it was meant to be consumed in its original language and having to read subtitles for once, like a lot of the world has to do when they're enjoying something in English.
Oh, I 100% agree. I mean, I do agree. I'm a hypocrite because I do, if when I watch anime, I do watch it dubbed, because I watch a bit of anime. I don't watch like a huge amount, but I'm just for me, I'm fine with subtitles. Like there's several films which some friends of mine just won't watch because it's got subtitles, and that drives me mental. Because there's a film called Amelie that's a French film that is just beautiful. There's a film called The Raid, which is one of the coolest films ever made, and that's, I think it's Korean, and it's directed by a Welshman randomly. But there's so many cool films which are just like, what, you're too lazy to essentially have most of it actually visual, but you have to read a small amount and you just can't be asked. It's like, come on.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would definitely recommend giving it a try, watching it subbed. There's a lot of very subtle things and nuances and jokes and stuff like that, and character voices which really make the anime that you will not get in the English version. Like One Piece is flipping hilarious, and I don't believe you can get that in the English version just because of the way the characters deliver and the voices and everything like that. So yeah,
because I've got two mates of mine who are very, very heavily into anime. They watch they do watch a couple of live action series, but they almost purely watch anime. And they're the ones who got me into Full Metal and Full Metal, Attack on Titan, and those sort of things. And what was the other thing? I was told to watch Death Note as well. Apparently,
I forgot about Death Note. Death Note is good.
Yeah. No, that's one of the shorter ones, because I know a lot of these animes, like obviously Naruto, Bleach, Fairy Tail, Dragon Ball Z, have got hundreds of episodes, whereas I think Death Note is like within 60 or something, and it's just like
something in there. Yeah.
And it's, no, exactly. And the thing is, my friends said, because they watched Attack on Titan when it obviously first came out, and there's usually a delay between the subbed and the dubbed because obviously voice actors, that sort of thing, and there's a lot of anime which they never do dubbing for because it has to get to a certain level of popularity for them to warrant being able to invest that kind of money to potentially get it to the masses who aren't willing to watch it subbed. But I remember them saying, like, when we watched Attack on Titan, there's a couple of voices and they were like, oh God, what's that? And I was like, what's happening? And I was like, God, Eren's voice is so annoying in this. And I was like, yeah, it is pretty annoying. And he's like, no, you don't understand. In the anime, in the subbed version, it's completely different. Like, it's not even like, oh, it's a different person sounding voice. Like, it's literally like octaves different. Everything's emphasized differently. And it's what you say, obviously, not that I didn't believe my friends, but it rings even more true with someone that I've...
I think just when they dub anime, they just go for anime protagonist voice male, anime protagonist voice female, and just get the same people for everything. And it's I just don't like it. I like to stay true to how it was meant to be consumed. And it's more fun that way for me. But, you know, each to their own. I would just recommend giving the sub to try and we'll probably end up liking it more.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always fine with subtitles as well. And I found that I'm a fairly quick reader. So what I do find myself doing is, some of my other friends, they watch it and they say the problem is they watch it and then they just stare at the subtitles and don't see what's going on. Whereas I kind of like flick down, read it, flick back up, you know, it's normally, I think it does depend on the individual, but it's also how much you can try.
It comes with practice.
Yeah.
The more you do it, the better you get at it.
No, exactly, 100%. And also with thinking with sort of anime, that sort of thing, have you seen any of the live-action movies? Like there's Dragon Ball Evolution, there's the Attack on Titan movie.
Let's never talk about that.
Because I haven't seen them, because I've heard they're so atrocious. And Avatar The Last Airbender, the version of that that's live-action as well. Like, all just...
Night Shyamalan is a very, very annoying person for The Last Airbender. Luckily, I never watched that. I did, however, watch Dragon Ball Evolution, and I regret it with my entire chest. It was terrible.
Yeah.
It was a bastardization of something that I love, and I wish itchy underwear on whomever thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, I'm not sure if, like, I think there's a Death Note movie and there's Attack on Titan movie, and I'm pretty certain that they're all terrible.
I think the general rule of these things is if there's a live action movie, don't watch it.
Yeah. I think it's the same with video game movies, though, isn't it? Like, I've seen... There's the Resident Evil saga, I guess. There's about 7 of them now. And they're quite hit and miss, but there's a couple of really good Resident Evil movies and a couple that aren't as good. But then there's so many others. Like, I haven't seen the new Tomb Raider, but there's, like, the Angelina Jolie Tomb Raider films, which weren't that great. And there's a lot of... Oh, was it? I saw the Assassin's Creed movie, because I used to play Assassin's Creed quite a lot up to the third one, and then the third one completely lost me. And I watched the movie of that, and it was... absolutely pathetic. Like, not only as a fan of Assassin's Creed, but as a movie in itself, it was just atrocious. And you know, you sometimes watch a movie and you're like, how did this even get made? Like, some of the parts in it, you're just like, what? Did no one else watch this film before it got released and say you shouldn't have that be in?
I'm going to say 4 words: Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Oh, have you seen about the whole redesigning thing with that as well?
Yeah, damn right. Like, how dare you? In general, how dare you think that? Do you know what I mean? It's just like, it just seems like somebody with more money than sense said, hey, what's popular? Oh, this thing. Yeah, let's make that and make some more money. And nobody thought, well, let's have a look at the source material, or let's get somebody who actually knows something about this in order to be involved in this project. I mean, Sonic looks dumb. He's got human teeth for some reason.
Oh, it's terrifying.
His limbs are, I don't even know what's going on with that. His legs are way too long, and he's got human proportions for some reason. And they used Coolio's Gangsta Paradise instead of Green Hill Zone music.
I know, it makes very much sense.
It's like, did anybody working on this film actually play any of the games? Does anybody even know what this is about? So, of course, I'm glad they've had to redo it, and I'm glad that they've had to spend stupid money in order to do it. How dare you, in general? Or conversely, the Detective Pikachu movie was not bad.
I saw that the other day, actually.
Yeah. It wasn't terrible. It was a bit fun. I mean, I started watching it, and I was like, this is dumb. And then halfway through it, I was like, I don't mind this. I'm enjoying it. It's fine. It's if you don't think too hard about it, it's okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's massive fan service, but it was pretty well done.
Mm. Yeah, I think with the Sonic the Hedgehog, for example, I mean, as soon as I saw the trailer, I was just like, the film, it looks like it could be okay. It's probably going to be atrocious. And I think Jim Carrey may be able to save it. But if you're making if you're going to make a Sonic the Hedgehog film and you have to have Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik to save the film, you're not making a right decision. And as you say, with all the things they've made, like, why didn't they just make Sonic the Hedgehog look like he did in the games where he does actually interact with humans? Like, you know, Sonic Adventure 2 or... the Sonic the Hedgehog on the Xbox.
Or where he kissed a human woman for some reason.
Yeah, that was a bit weird. But I'll try not to think about that too much. But it's just like Mario, like his proportions and things. And then Odyssey, he actually interacts with normal humans. And you're like, so he's...
Yeah, Matt, if you think about it, if you really look at Mario and Luigi in comparison to normal humans, they are horrifying. during E3, I saw a picture of some women... standing next to, I think it was either a Luigi model or a guy in a very realistic Luigi suit, but either way, like, the size of his head in comparison to his body and in comparison to the two women, it was horrifying. He looked like more of a troll than an actual kind of person. So
no, exactly. Yeah. I agree. But with the Detective Pikachu thing, I will say, I'm going to say some very minor spoilers for the film. Very minor. I'm very conscious about spoilers and things, but if people have spoilers, just skip ahead a little bit. But it's just the one thing I will say about it is I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good movie. I think the animation of all the, where they brought all the Pokemon to life, the way they look, is absolutely incredible. And I just thought when Pikachu was fighting Charizard, I was like, this is amazing. But I was like, oh, wait, this is just, I want a Pokemon battle movie. And this is basically saying, oh yeah, here's the main protagonist, who's the only person in any Pokemon ever ever, who basically isn't really into associating himself with loads of Pokemon. It's like, okay, great. It's the opposite of what I want. But like,
yeah,
the main spoiler bit I was just going to say is just the bit about Mewtwo. You know, where, yeah, the problem is, if you've seen Pokemon the first movie, which is, relatively speaking, anyone our age who is going to go see Pokemon, Detective Pikachu, you know that Mewtwo isn't evil. So you know that when he's on there and it's got this sort of, you know, I won't say the actual full-on spoiler of what the big reveal is, even though it's incredibly obvious. I found that, once you realise that Mewtwo isn't evil, then you can unravel it kind of from there. And it's like, but I've seen the first movie. I know Mewtwo is misunderstood. So, and they even mention, yeah, I think the first, they kind of vaguely mentioned that in Detective Pikachu, where they've got him, they had to capture him because he was made like 10 years prior. So it's kind, yeah, of canon, but it's like, but I know Mewtwo isn't evil. So this whole thing where you kind of be like, oh yeah, Mewtwo's the bad guy-ish. It's like, but I know he's not. Like, your own fans, the first ever Pokemon movie that you released says he's not. So what are you doing here?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. The way that they present it to you, they're trying to subvert expectations, and I think they do quite well with that. But it's, in general, it's just a fun movie. Yeah. They didn't take themselves too seriously. The Pokemon look great. The protagonist, I could take or leave. I think that I don't understand how you could be in a Pokemon world and not at least be vaguely interested in Pokemon anyway, because they're everywhere. And more keep, I think there's like 800 of them now or something.
Yeah.
I only recognize the first 151, Xiao Togepi.
Yeah, well, in all honesty, I mean, I used to love Pokemon. I played, you know, Red and Blue, Red I had, and obviously Yellow. And then I think around Diamond and Pearl, which I think is Generation 4, that was the last Pokemon game that I full on properly played. Like, after that, it was just, I was getting a bit bored of the formula of just, this game is fun, but it's piss easy. And it was just like, I can basically catch any Pokemon. I can literally just click their attack move and I will just win every single battle bar two. It's like,
yeah,
it was, you fight, occasionally you fight your rivals in Elite Four. The rest of it was just really, really easy. And so when I started playing more games and getting a bit more into video games and stuff, then it was like, could I play, you know, the new Doom game, which is like really challenges me and is like really gruesome and really, you know, heavy hitting? Or do I want to play a game which is basically just choosing to watch people fight? Like, I haven't got, I know Final Fantasy, most of them are sort of RPGs, what's the term? Turn, I've lost it.
Turn-based.
There you go, turn-based combat, yeah. It's like, I do like some games of turn-based combat, but for me as an individual, I'm more of a liker. I more enjoy games like Devil May Cry and things like that, where I like most genres of games, but it's like, if I'm going to, with Final Fantasy as an example, I always used to look at them and go, why can't I just play Final Fantasy like it's Kingdom Hearts or something like that? But
Kingdom Hearts is a great game, by the way.
Yeah, they were both fantastic games. I only played them a little bit. I never like fully completed them. I never owned them, unfortunately. But apparently the third one is that good.
One and two. I haven't played three yet, and I still plan to. I'm just waiting for it to get onto Nintendo Switch.
Mm.
I've only allowed myself a Switch because if I have other consoles, I just won't get any work.
Well, I found something similar. I mean, I'm actually saving for a Switch because I live with two of my mates, and he bought a Switch, and I was like, right, I'm gonna buy Smash Brothers. You can play as much as you want, but please don't make me buy a Switch. Let me just play Smash on your console. And he was like, yeah, it's fine. It's like, thank you. So I bought a Smash and playing that loads. But I got a PS4. I actually got it, let me think, I was living with my girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, and I was living with her and two of my other mates, and then I broke up with her, and then I moved in with my two mates to where I am here now. This is several years ago. And as a kind of reward for myself, and also because I'd been living with her for 6 months and I'd been dating her for like a year and a bit, and I was like, I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to buy a PS4. And I played it, and I just spent all my time doing it. And then once I started podcasting, and actually, you know, having a hobby again, I was like, okay, I can play PS4 a little bit. And now I've got, now with someone else, I've got another girlfriend. It's like, I'm looking at it right now. My mate's got God of War, which I haven't touched. And I've been playing the Spider-Man game. That's fantastic. And it's like, every time I get like a free afternoon, I go, you know, I'm going to play PS4. I'm going to play a bit of Spider-Man. And they get to it and I'm answering podcasting emails or, you know, and I just, with busybodies, it's like a lot of people I know are like, when you've got this passion and you've got a project that you want to do, be it obviously with yourself music, or be it some people I know are authors, or I'm obviously a podcaster. It's like, when I always feel guilty for having fun in some ways, if I'm with someone else. Yeah, exactly. Like if I'm with my girlfriend, for example, that's normally when I'm, you know, chilled. She's a teacher, so she has quite a bit of homework as well, which is good. So we can both do work sort of separately, and there's none of that sort of one of us wanting the other one too much. But it's like, when I'm with her, we chill out, watch The Office, Stranger Things, whatever, play video games. But like when I'm just by myself, I'm either doing chores or I'm like, oh, I've got five emails, or oh, I could pre-write this thing that I'm going to release instead of having to do it on Tuesday. I can do it now. And you know what I mean? Like, do you find that specifically where it's like when you're by yourself and you're not sort of socializing with other people, it's almost hard to sort of to switch off in a way?
Yeah, totally. Totally. That's why the only game I really play is Super Smash Bros.
Oh, because, I love you.
Yeah, but you won't if you play me because I'm really good at it.
I'm really good as well.
Who do you play?
Well, it depends on what game. I mean, I've been playing since Melee, and I want to clarify, when Melee came out, I had no friends. So, like, I played it nonstop by myself, fighting level nines constantly. And so I'd say in the Switch one, we'll just stick with Ultimate. I mean, Ganondorf is pretty overpowered now, so I quite like Ganondorf.
Yeah.
They nerfed Captain Falcon a bit. Falcon used to be one of my names.
They've buffed him.
Oh, they've done it. Have they buffed him again in one of the updates?
Yeah, in the 3.1.0. Patch, I think.
I don't think I've played 3.0, no, because I've been playing, I've got it, obviously, and I just haven't had time. I have to organise nights with my mates now where we basically just, like, every couple of months, I get, like, a mob of guys over and we all just chill out, have a few drinks or whatever, and then just play Smash loads. And I'd say, if I just use three mains, I mean, Link's probably my main, I'd say. The new game, I really, really like Inkling. I think Inkling is, in Ultimate, is one of my new favourites as well. God, I it's really hard because like it's more so there's about 10 characters that I'm not very good at, but the rest of them I really like. What about yourself? What are your sort of a couple of your mains?
I'm a Toon Link main all day, all night.
What was a Toon Link main?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I found in Melee it was Young Link I liked a lot, and then Brawl I liked Normal Link, and then Ultimate came out and I keep swapping between sort of Young Link, Toon Link and Normal Link. Like I'm really, yeah. I mean, I really like the Toon Link, and I think Toon Link's got the flurry move, and I think so is, well, is he, I always get confused. Is Young Link's got the flurry move, Link hasn't. Does Toon Link have the, just the standard neutral attack?
He's got the three hit.
Yeah. I mean, when you, how long have you been playing like Smash and things? Has it been since like Melee and 64 or has it been recently?
I've been playing since 64.
Nice. I've got the 64. I've got an N64, but I bought it as in, I was playing, I think Brawl at the time. And I was like, when Brawl came out, then I played the Wii U one. And I was like, I can't have Melee, Brawl and the Wii U one. And I can't not have the 64 one. So I actually, I never played 64, but I played Melee and stuff. But I was really weird playing, you know, obviously starting with 64, that would be fine. But where I backed it, it was really weird not having a side special.
Yeah, yeah.
It threw me off.
64, I mean, 64 was the first one, so there's a lot of stuff that you don't have in that game. But in terms of Smash, I've been to a few tournaments where I've absolutely just destroyed.
Oh, you'll probably beat me then.
The last tournament I went to, I didn't drop a single game. I beat everybody, won it, won the prize, which actually was a copy of Smash Bros, which is really weird because I already have it.
If you're going to win a tournament, surely.
I don't think so. I also won a Link Amiibo, which is sitting behind my laptop and I'm looking at it now and I haven't opened it and I don't know what I want to do with it. there's that too. But yeah, I'm not lying. I'm very, very good at that game.
I beat, relatively speaking, everyone I meet. But me and my mate Reese, we're both like, Reese is, I'm into like a little bit of everything, you know, music, podcast, movies, TV series, etc. Reese and I used to be huge gamers when we were younger and in college and things like that. And I mentioned his name, Reese, for any listeners to the show because he's been in a few podcasts before, including the first ever one I did. And we used to play video games all the time and stuff. And now he's still a huge gamer, but because I'm doing podcasting now and I've got, you know, I've got my finger in too many pies of interests, I just do a little bit of everything. So I can't play video games as much as I'd like. But me and him still always play Smash, and me and him are pretty damn even. We beat, relatively speaking, everyone we come into contact with, but we did go to a tournament at our local pub 2 years ago. And we beat basically everyone there except one guy, and his, you can obviously name, you could give yourself a name on the console, but we were playing, I think it was the Wii U one, and he called himself Zuel, Z-U-E-L, and we were having a laugh at it because it just sounds so epic, like Zuel is coming for you, and he absolutely wiped the floor with me. He was Ike, and Ike was my main, and he chose Ike first, and I was like, oh fuck, I don't really want to be Ike against Ike, and then I did get beaten, so I'd love to play you sometime. It sounds like a lot of fun, but I'm sure you'll beat me.
Give me your friend code and I will play you. I've played a few people, a few fans actually, and it's not gone well for them. So
I'm hoping
you'll put up a fight.
We'll see. Because what I'm doing is, as I've got my mate's Switch at the moment, what I'm doing is I'm moving out with my girlfriend in a couple months. And then I asked mum for some money for my birthday just to put towards a Switch, and I'm saving as well. So I'm going to be buying my own Switch. I'm going to have to buy a character pass and then unlock all the characters again and spend money on Petey the Piranha, because I got that free and I gave it to my mate on his console as a sort of, you know, you let me use your console thing. So I'm going to have to do that, and I'm going to have to play with my mate Reese, and I'm going to have to get really, really, really good. And then I'm going to have to challenge you and get my butt kicked. So I'm sure if you've, I have a lot of fun with you, but I imagine like, my skill level, because I don't practice enough, has kind of plateaued. Like, you know, you talk to some people play and they don't even dodge, and you're like, why are you even talking to me about this? And then it's like, you go up, like, Reese watches a lot of the YouTube videos where it goes into a lot more the specifics of sort of, you know, the frames, and like, you know, when they do updates, he's always up to date with, oh, you know, Ganondorf's Nair is now, you know, it's one frame lag less, or I'm terrible with the terminology, as you can tell, but we talk about those sort of things. So he's more into that than I am, that world, but we're both pretty evenly skilled. But
okay, tell your friend Reese to play me. I actually put occasional videos of some of my plays on my Instagram, so you'll see what I get up to. But
definitely, I'd love to do that.
I take Smash Bros very seriously. That's when I need to relax, that's what I play.
Yeah, well, I think Smash Bros is, I mean, fortunately now, I think with the internet it's going to help it a lot, but I remember when I used to play Smash and talk to people about it, most people, a lot of people never even heard of it. And it was like, okay. And then as I think the internet's connected a lot more like-minded people now, obviously Smash is like one of the flagships now of Nintendo. And it's like, it's so unlike any other game except Sony All-Stars that completely copied it. But it was so unique. And it's like, you get all your best people fighting, and the style isn't like, you know, I like Tekken, Soul Calibur, that sort of thing. But like with those games, unless you're really, really, really good, you can kind of button mash your way through it, but you can't with Smash.
Yeah.
Like you say, it's like, if you try and button mash your way through Smash, I'm going to grab you through the edge and you're gone.
Yeah. No, it's a fantastic game. And they've just introduced Banjo-Kazooie.
Yes. Yeah. I saw about that at E3.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really, really excited about that. So yeah, it's my favorite game. I think it's a fantastic game, and I'm really excited to continue playing it and destroying people.
Well, I always wanted Rayman to be in it, which maybe he will still be in it.
Rayman would be a really good addition, actually. It'd be fantastic in it. My current favorite thing at the moment to do on Smash is to enter other people's lobbies, destroy them, and then leave. and that's it. I go in. I've got my current profile picture is Majora's Mask, so I just appear in your lobby, beat everybody in the lobby, and then leave.
Nice. Do you have your name? Is your name like Shadow as well?
It is. Yeah.
That makes it even better. That's fantastic. I want to ask as well, because I've basically been not buying many new characters, because obviously I'm going to get my own Switch soon, so I don't want to spend loads of money and then have to transfer it, and I haven't created an account yet. So I want to ask, I assume you bought, is it Joker from Persona 5?
Yes, yeah.
Is he any good? I've heard he plays a bit Fire Emblem-y.
Joker is extremely good when he gets his Arsene power up. I've tried him. He's not my playstyle. I'm just really, really good at Toon Link, and that's about it. But when he first came out, I was getting absolutely wrecked for a while, but now I know how to fight him. It's fine.
So are you just, when you play people, are you purely Toon Link, even if you're playing with your mates and having fun? Or do you kind of, is Toon Link your main for thrashing people, and then when you play with mates, you vary up a little bit?
Sometimes I'll go random.
That's what I do.
But yeah, I can play the Pit Brothers all right, but like if you want to beat me, if you want any chance of beating me, as long as it's anybody other than Toon Link, you might win. If it's Toon Link, it's really unlikely.
My mate Reese, his main is Cloud, and if I'm Fox or someone else whose name, it's not their name, I can't actually remember who it is, but there's two characters I can play him, and I can beat him sometimes as Cloud. But if I'm any other character, even my main Link, as him as Cloud, I'll get thrashed. But if I'm Link and he's any of his other mains, I thrash him. It's a really quite funny thing, but
it's just matchups. Often some characters are a lot better against others.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he hates me playing Fox because he said Fox he's so quick and so annoying. If you get a combo going with a character like Fox or Falcon or any of the fast characters, it's just like painful to watch. Whereas at least with like DDD or Ganon, they're less that you can be, but they're less combo orientated. They're more just punch you three times and you've got like, you know, 70 damage. Yeah.
Ganon, Bowser, DDD, all of the heavies, Donkey Kong, K-Rool to an extent.
Oh, yeah.
They're very reads heavy. Mm. All you need is just one or two good reads and it's done.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I do love, I absolutely love Smash. I'm just thinking about, I want to play it now, but as soon as I finish this podcast, I've promised I'm going to do food planning for the week with my girlfriend. So I won't be doing that tonight. But keeping the same realm with video games and things, obviously you've got a Switch and things at the moment. So what are some of your favorite video games over the last while, really, other than Smash? I mean, that's a really big question. I'm really sorry. Just to say, basically, video games and just run away. But
it's pretty much Smash. But that's all I play. I don't really play games just because I have to. I've got too much work to do. My music career is my main focus. Mm. What I do like to do is watch other people play games. So I watch a lot of Let's Plays on YouTube, and that allows me to keep up to date with video games without having to, number one, spend the money on buying them, and number two, spend the time playing them. So if you want to talk about God of War, I know that game inside out, but I've never touched the console. I've never touched the control in association with the game, you know, but I've watched people play it. There's lots of games that I'm really super interested in that I've watched people play on YouTube, but I personally just play Smash and that's about it.
Smash is a very easy game to sort of pick up and drop. Like, for example, Fallout 3, I loved that game and I got like 100% on it. As I said, I got every achievement on the Xbox 360. And the amount of hours I put in that game I've put most hours in Smash, but I put so many hours in that. And then someone lent me Fallout 4 and I played it for a bit, but it was like, this was before I was even dating my current girlfriend. I was like, I having a podcast, I just do not have time. And
there's a lot of games that are very time intensive. So there's a new Pokemon game coming out on the Switch that I considered briefly, but then I'm like, I don't have time to be raising Pokemon. and it wants you to be on at night, it wants you to be on at day, time, blah, blah, blah. The only other games that I've really played in the past that I really like is the Phoenix Wright series, Kingdom Hearts, of course. And I really enjoyed GTA 5. I played through the story and I thought that was very good.
Yeah, I mean, do you have, obviously you don't have to speak about them specifically, but do you have many friends that are like, you love them to pieces, but like they have their thing. Reese is a little bit like this, where it's like they have talent, they have skill, they have a lot of potential, and all they want to do is essentially play video games. And that is fine, but there's that part of me, there's two parts at the same time, which is both envy and whatever the opposite of envy is, where it's like, I'm kind of envious that you get to, you know, play video games all the time, because I'm always kind of wanting to play video games, always wanting to just sit out and do nothing all the time. But then there's the other part of me that's like, but I feel really unfulfilled. Like if I have like 3 days off work, I normally spend a lot of it either exercising, doing chores and doing podcast stuff. And then I have like an afternoon to myself. And then after a few hours, I'm kind of like getting antsy to kind of do other work. Like I think I've broken myself. I'm not sure I can even actually no longer, you know, just fully chill out.
Yeah, no. Funnily enough, a lot of people I consider friends are super driven as well. Mm. So I think it's pretty inspiring more than anything else, because it just reminds me that I have more to do to try and achieve what it is I'm trying to achieve.
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean, I've got a friend of mine who's been on my podcast a couple of times called Wayne, and he's an author. He's released 3 books now. He's written and completed 18. And he's basically stockpiled them, and he's going to be releasing like one a year sort of thing. And he's got like, I think 7 of them are in one connected universe, and then he's going to have like a whole nother universe, and then he's got these standalone stories. And it's like, he says that, you know, I must be so busy and that I inspire him. And I'm like, dude, you're an author. Like you create full on content. I'm just an idiot who talks to people more interesting than me. Like you blow me out of the water. And I've got another mate of mine called Alex, and he's also, I think that's just all my interesting friends I have on the podcast. But
the grass is always greener on the other side, and it's always about perception, you know. People can always look at what you're doing and think, oh, that's super interesting, you know. I think the human condition means that you're never satisfied with what you've got, and you're always looking at what other people have got and thinking that it's better until you have it.
It is one of those things where it's like one has to be quite introspective in a lot of ways when it comes to not only succeeding, but also being okay with oneself, because it's very easy to be envious of someone else. And it's very easy to kind of either think of yourself better than everyone else, or equally think that you're way worse than everyone else. And it does take work to actually like exercise the muscle of finding your way in amongst everyone else, in a sense.
Yeah, and just being content with your lot in life and being happy with who you are as a person, and trying to actively improve yourself as a person, irrespective of what other people are doing, and not comparing yourself to other people. That's very, very difficult to do, and a very difficult place to get to mentally and emotionally as well.
I agree. It's getting actually quite late now, and I've had an absolutely fantastic time speaking to you. You've been very gracious with your time, so I do appreciate it. I want to know if there's, obviously you're part of, there's one thing we didn't really speak about, which was just a DIY gang. I didn't know if you want to sort of speak about that a little bit. I don't know if that's just
it's my company, it's my record label, it's just generally my ethos. Do it yourself if other people are unwilling to do it for you, you know.
And so if you want to just drop a few plugs, find where people can see where people can find you, and then also give your bigger nice final words, in a sense.
So you can find me online at Shaodo Music on all social media. That's just Shaodow Music. My website is diygang.co.uk. Shaodo on Spotify, iTunes, sorry, Apple Music. They've killed off iTunes now. Apple Music, Deezer, whatever other streaming service. Oh, Tidal as well. There's that one. And yeah, just say hello. I'll say hello back, in essence. But that's really it. Just look out for my new single. It's called Burnout. It'll be coming out in the next couple months, and there'll be plenty more shows, all of that good stuff. So yeah, I hope you've enjoyed listening to our random music and nerd chat.
Well, thank you very much, Shaodo. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, it's a pleasure's all mine, dude. Thank you very much.
And that's the end of the podcast. Thanks as always for tuning in, guys. As I said, make sure you go and check out all of Shaodo's stuff. I've included links in the description to the newest single, Burnout's, music video. All his stuff can be found on Spotify, and I've included a link to his site where you can get his manga, merch, information about his tours, all those sorts of juicy things. So be sure to go check that out. Coming up, I've got basically, I think, as I said, one podcast due to be recorded each week for the next month or so. Some of them may be 1 or 2 hours long. It depends, but it means obviously at least I have one part each week at least. I have just recorded a two-parter, which will be released next week, part one will be released next week, with a gentleman called Tony Farina. He is a gentleman who's been in education for a long time, and he now, for the last 7 years, I think it is, has only been doing online education, which is a really interesting topic. I got in touch with him because he's friends with the guys over in Comics and Motion podcast, I've had on this show a little while ago, a few weeks back. It was Chris and Dave from Comics and Motion, and I guested on one of their episodes for Dread, the 2012 one with Carl Urban. I think it's 2012. But so that's how I met him. Essentially, he heard me on that show. He hit me up and said, oh, I'd love to come on the show if you want to chat about it. It was actually more of just a sort of chat. You were really cool on the show, blah, blah, blah. And we just kind of got chatting, and then it got to the point of saying, oh, by the way, you know, if you want me on the show, I'm happy to talk about education, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, yeah, sure. I've been wanting to speak to someone about sort of education, how it's been changing over the years, for a long time. So he, a lot of experience in that. We talk about loads of other things. It goes off on many tangents. I had a really, really cool conversation with him. I think I'm going to have him on again at probably some point next year, to talk about more nerdy things, because he does comic book and audiobook reviews and things. So very interesting guy. Look forward to sharing that one with you guys next week. The other ones, I've got ones with a podcaster who is in true crime. I won't say who they are, but I'm excited to speak to them. They're an incredibly interesting individual. Another one is going to be with someone who I remember their name, but I can't really remember much about them, if I'm being brutally honest, and that's probably for the best, just in case they don't record. I've got a few things in the pipeline. I'm tempted to do another Science But Simple soon. I'll need to get back in touch with Josh because I don't live with him anymore. So I say back in touch, I see him like every week, but I need to try and get that sorted as well. Maybe I can go see his new flat or something, I don't know. A few things in the pipeline. I'm hoping to have other podcasters and things on. I'm talking to a couple of them, hoping to get some more musicians on. I've got a few authors lined up and things like that. So, you know, and I'm going to try and do another couple of podcasts with mates of mine. So they're a bit more sort of chatty and less interviewee and more just flowy conversation. I mean, fortunately, this one with Chowdo went exactly how I wanted it to go. You know, the first half was primarily about him being a rapper and that sort of thing, but I felt like it really flowed nicely. Like if I just met him in a bar or something, that's the kind of questions I would ask if I had his ear for an hour nonstop. And then obviously the second half is just two guys chatting about anime and having a laugh about it. So, you know, I really appreciate Shadow coming on, and also I appreciate all you guys listening, especially to the very end, because as my friends tell me, my voice does get very annoying over time. So anyone willing who's now finished listening to Shadow and is like, no, I'm going to keep listening to whatever this Mike guy's got to say, if any of these people are new, that is, then I really appreciate you guys, you know, listening to the end and things. And as a reminder, you know, last episode was another musician, my friend Callum. He's a frontman of a metalcore band called Placeholder. I really recommend you guys check out Placeholder. They're amazing. And Callum was a really good chat, but you know, Callum's one of my best friends, so you know, I love talking to him. And then, you know, I went to Mexico before that, and there was my first ever solo pod, which is just me rambling on about nothing. It's basically this, but for like an hour. So if you enjoy this part, then you know, be sure, I think it's episode 67, I think. So go check that out, you know. I think that's pretty much it, guys, or I'm just going to ramble on forever. So, you know, thanks as always for tuning in. I appreciate each and every one of you listening. And if you can share this on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, any of those things, leave an iTunes review any way, it really, really makes a difference for me. So, you know, I love you all and I hope you have a great week. Talk to you next week.